Grace has shone forth from thy mouth like fire, illuminating the inhabited world. Thou hast treasures for the world, the treasures of silver hating.
When St. Gregory Palamas thinks of Zacchaeus, the verses in St. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21 comes to mind. For where your treasure is, there will your mind be also. At the beginning of the story of Zacchaeus, St. Luke tells us that this is a man who loved money. He was the chief of tax collectors, and he was rich. But something happened to Zacchaeus, something called repentance. And the description of this miraculous event in St. Gregory Palamas's 62nd sermon from the collection St. Gregory Palamas, the Homilies, translated by Christopher Venyaman and published by Mount Thabor Publishing, is something every Orthodox Christian should be aware of and enjoy. Hi, welcome to Harmony of Thunder. I'm your host, Father David Smith. Harmony of Thunder is a program that looks at and enjoys and explores the rich tradition of Orthodox preaching. Each week, we choose a sermon either from Scripture, from the works of a saint, or from a contemporary source. We look at the preacher's style, his illustrations, and his preaching technique. Lord Jesus Christ, give your holy Orthodox Church great preachers, the people who want to hear them. Amen. St. Gregory Palamas describes the place in the story where Zacchaeus finds himself. I think that Zacchaeus was both drawn and held back in an indescribable way by Jesus' divine power. He was attracted, on the one hand, because he had a good temperament and a soul capable of virtue, which is why he desired to see Jesus and endeavored to do so. On the other hand, he was restrained by God's might, because he was held fast by things contrary to Christ's way of life, tax collecting and wealth. In my opinion, this is exactly what the evangelist is indicating in a few words to those with understanding. Insofar as he was someone with admirable ways, Luke says of him, "Behold, a man named Zacchaeus." But as he was caught in the snares of wickedness, he adds, "which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich." The phrase, "behold, a man," is used of men of high renown who are not reckoned among ordinary people. The fact that he mentions the man's name has the same implication, for Zacchaeus was not among those of whom David said, "I will not take up their names unto my lips." That's Psalm 16, verse 4. However, that the evangelist bears witness that he was not merely a tax collector, but a chief tax collector and rich as a result, shows that he was distinguished for his evil deeds. Being short and far away, Zacchaeus could not see Jesus. And he ran before, it says, and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. See the intensity of his longing, and work out from this what sort of character he was. When he was unable to get through the crowd, he did not turn away, but rather leapt forward and ran, not away from his desire, but from the crowd. Once he was ahead, he climbed up a sycamore planted beside the road, and from there he might see the one for whom he longed, unquote. I love the way the preacher sets up the tension in Zacchaeus. He is not, as I have heard some preachers say, and I'm sure you have, simply an evil man who also happened to be curious about Jesus. Not at all. He was a man who had given himself over to sin and greed, but a part of him still felt like it wanted to know God, to repent, to pursue what is good. See the intensity of his longing, St. Gregory Palamas says. Can you see that often the one who sins the most also has the greatest longing to repent? And Zacchaeus was acting on this desire. Jesus stopped by the tree and looked up at Zacchaeus. Quote, "For that reason, he who knows the hearts of men also sees the desire in Zacchaeus' heart, looks up, speaks to him and calls him by name, although he has never set eyes on him before, in order charitably to show his face, to make himself known out of kindness to the man who longed for him, and to make it clear that Zacchaeus not only loved, but was also beloved. Furthermore, he orders him to hurry home, that he might plentifully exact and receive the dues of divine friendship from him, who gives far more abundantly than all we ask or think. Unquote. And then at his house, Zacchaeus pledges to give all that he had stolen back to the rightful owners according to the law of Moses. The preacher addresses this powerful act and gives his hearers and us the lesson that we ought to learn from it. Quote, "Do you all see how Zacchaeus loved and sought and was loved, summoned, and made Christ's own? If anyone is a tax collector or chief tax collector and is grown rich by evil means as a result, gathering money unjustly, let him imitate this chief tax collector's road to salvation. Let him repay and scatter to good purpose what he has evilly hoarded. If anyone is poor because he has been robbed of his possessions, or for some other reason, let him rejoice and be thankful, for he possesses saving poverty. Or rather, let him make poverty a source of salvation through giving thanks. Even the rich tax collector took refuge in poverty, and joyfully found salvation, as we have now heard concerning him. This is as much as we will say about that narrative." Unquote. But even though St. Gregory Palamas says this is as much as he's going to say about the actual narrative from St. Luke's Gospel, this remarkable sermon continues. I want to finish today by simply reading the last three paragraphs of the sermon, in which St. Gregory Palamas draws the spiritual connections between his hearers and Zacchaeus. I like to do this, by the way, to sort of spend the time reading from the sermon itself rather than giving you my commentary, because these sermons are so wonderful and the preaching is so great. Quote, "But look wisely at the apostle's statement. He did not say that those who were rich had gone astray from the faith, but those who coveted. As he says elsewhere, they that will be rich fall into temptations and snares of the devil. So do not say, 'Most of us are poor, why are you speaking against love of money to those who have hardly any?' Because of our desire for riches, we have this disease in our souls and need to be healed of it. If you are telling me that you do not have this illness, prove that you do not seek to be delivered from poverty, but count it more desirable and honorable than wealth, rejoicing in it and giving thanks to God for it, because it makes salvation easier for you. If, however, someone is rich, let him hear that it will be difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." That's in Mark chapter 10, verse 23. "But let him also be aware that Abraham too was rich, but he was saved because he was hospitable and a friend to the poor and not a lover of money. And Job, who was tested in wealth and in poverty, said of himself when he was rich, 'I did not make gold my strength, nor did I rejoice because I acquired great wealth.' It is the desire for wealth that is evil. And unless they are careful, the poor as well as the rich can suffer from this in vain. Since an evil rich man sometimes takes to himself an evil and even more evil pair of vices, arrogance and trust in riches, the divine Paul writes to Timothy saying, 'Charge them that are rich in this world that they not be high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in God.' For humility among men is the acknowledgement of reality. But anyone who prides himself on wealth, which is more truly earthly than everything else in our lives, or sets his hope upon it, really is foolish and not unlike those rich men whom the Lord sets before us in parables. Of these, one had Lazarus before his gates but did not even look at him out of arrogance, whereas the other coveted, conversed with his own soul about the things he had stored up for many years ahead, thus demonstrating where the hope of rich men lies. The unquenchable flame took the one, the inescapable demand for the soul the other. Do you see the end that awaits those who are devoted to wealth? That is why David says, 'If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. As for Solomon, he that trusteth in his riches,' he says, 'shall fall. And again, elsewhere, he compares those who gape at prophets with hell and destruction, saying, "Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of fools are never satisfied." And the Lord says, "Woe to those that are rich, woe to those that are full." And that's St. Luke chapter 6, verse 24 and 25. But let us, brethren, be rich in good works. Let us fill the stomachs of the poor with what we have, that we may be deemed worthy to hear the promised voice and blessing and inherit the heavenly kingdom. May all of us attain to this by the grace and love for mankind of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom belong glory, might, greatness, and majesty, together with the Father without beginning and the life-giving Spirit, now and forever and unto ages of ages. Amen.
Harmony of Thunder is produced in cooperation with the Orthodox Christian Network.